We are joined tonight by San Antonio Mayor Ron Nirenberg, live from his office at City Hall. Mr. Mayor, thank you for joining us. Off the top, we're seeing a slow rise before the holidays. How concerned are you about COVID cases post Thanksgiving? And are there any plans being made by Metro Health or the city to deal with what could be a slow rise in numbers?
I brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. We become responsible then for administrating, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States.
Yesterday, we saw patriotism on display in the House when it passed the legislation to establish a select committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol. I am very proud to be able to announce the members of that committee this morning. Adam Schiff of the Intelligence Committee.
I want to make sure to hear your thoughts tonight, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce our moderator this evening, a wonderful doctor and a very brave moderator, and that is my friend Dr. Bruce Hensel.
Hi there, Jeff and Pat. Yeah, some pretty bombshell allegations in the complaint that has just been filed and we've obtained. We understand that Hensel has a home here in the Palisades. You see it here on your screen. This is not where he was arrested. That happened in Santa Monica earlier today. But we have some information here. Of course, you'll remember Hensel, as you take a look at this video, was a medical reporter for KNBC for many years. According to his LinkedIn profile, it was 29 years with NBC. The LADA's office says Hensel was charged today with asking a 9-year-old girl to send him sexually suggestive pictures.
Representative Jamie Raskin, a constitutional scholar, as you all know. Representative Stephanie Murphy of Armed Services Committee.
Well, police have put a gag order on the teenager's identity. What we know is that he's a 19-year-old dual citizen, an American-Israeli Jewish teenager from the southern Israeli city of Ashkelon. And police say this is the man who was behind scores of bomb threats across not only the U.S., but also New Zealand and Australia. This was a joint investigation from the Israeli police, the FBI, as well as other agencies around the world. Israeli police say the first bomb threat was actually called into New Zealand, followed by Australia, followed by those bomb threats, those dozens of threats against JCCs, Jewish community centers in the U.S.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
Hello, Congresswoman Murphy. These are a pair of pants that you designed and your husband manufactured that are made in China. And I'm wondering how you can say that you're leading the charge to strengthen U.S. manufacturing while making these in China. Congresswoman Murphy, how much money have you made from Chinese manufacturing? Congresswoman Murphy, how much money have you paid to the Chinese government in taxes to manufacture these pants there?
And then and we're very proud that Elaine Loria, a Navy veteran, captain of the ship. Maybe there's a more technical and better. What was the title? Retired commander. Oh, my gosh. And a member of the Armed Services Committee. Her interest in this is longstanding in the Congress. She is also a member of the Homeland Security Committee.
Well, despite its immense political power, and it does have immense power, the group Black Lives Matter isn't really much of a group. It's a relatively small, flimsy organization. In fact, it doesn't really have a legal existence of its own. Officially, the primary Black Lives Matter group is simply a project of another nonprofit called Thousand Currents. Now, why is this interesting? Well, it's interesting because the current vice chair of Thousand Currents is a woman called Susan Rosenberg. And she's a convicted terrorist who spent 16 years in federal prison before she was given a pardon by Bill Clinton on the very last day in office.
Pete Aguilar, House Appropriations Committee. Congresswoman Liz Cheney of the Armed Services Committee has patriotically agreed to serve on the committee. Our chairman will be Benny Thompson. He's chair of the Homeland Security Committee, and he negotiated the bipartisan commission, and we thank him for his leadership.
But if he's saying, okay, I'll come, but I'll plead the fifth, then in some instances, that says you're part and parcel guilty to what occurred.
Now, the reason I was in South Africa is because of this particular chart, which summarizes IQ scores that Professor Richard Lynn alluded to in his talk based on his review, which was published in 1991. Whites average about 100. A few estimates may place it a little bit higher and say 103. Black Americans average about 85. But it's the very far bar on that graph which has excited a lot of controversy, the IQ of 70. Because an IQ of 70 is the lowest IQ ever found in the world, and it's based on 20 or 30 different studies from East, South, West, and Central Africa. I should put it into context. If white people in Canada or the United States have an IQ of 70, this is considered borderline mentally retarded.
Chair Zoe Lofgren, House Administration Committee, which is having key hearings as Committee of Jurisdiction for the Safety of the Capitol.
They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest, where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking.
Anyone buy the rings? Well, for all of the Republican voters. And we'll put them into re-education.
And teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
Well, we are watching it carefully, and the rise has been not insignificant, so we're monitoring that. Obviously, we want to keep things low. The positivity rate's still below 2%, which is good. We know that there's going to be more interaction among folks during the holiday season, so we're being cautious, and we're continuing to monitor that and confer with the health professionals. The biggest effort that's underway, though, with regard to putting an end to this pandemic is getting folks vaccinated. People five and up now are eligible. We now have booster shots.
Some countries are using to give boosters to kill children.
I'm excited. I'm going to be getting my booster shot very soon. So we're moving in the right direction.
We're talking about the state of Texas. I happen to notice when Beto O'Rourke was in town after he announced, you were on stage with him. You introduced him. You don't seem to do that very often where I see you on stage with a political candidate. Talk about, I mean, am I reading too much into this? Is there a significance to you being on stage with Beto O'Rourke?
Well, I've known Beto for some time, and he is a quality public servant.
He has a criminal record that includes DWI and burglary arrests. He was recently videoed publicly intoxicated being spanked. He voted against proper access for the disabled, for the use of eminent domain to destroy homes in Segundo Barrio, and advocated the legalization of narcotics.
You must understand, the leading Bolsheviks who took over Russia were not Russians. They hated Russians. They hated Christians. Driven by ethnic hatred, they tortured and slaughtered millions of Russians without a shred of human remorse. The October Revolution was not what you call in America the Russian Revolution. It was an invasion and conquest over the Russian people. More of my countrymen suffered horrific crimes at the blood-stained hands than any people or nation ever suffered in the entirety of human history. It cannot be understated. Bolshevism was the greatest human slaughter of all time. The fact that most of the world is ignorant of this reality is proof that the global media itself is in the hands of the perpetrators. We cannot state that all Jews are Bolsheviks. But without Jews, there will be no Bolshevism. For a Jew, nothing is more insulting than the truth. The blood-matted Jewish terrorists murdered 66 million in Russia from 1918 to 1957. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Nobel Prize-winning novelist, historian, and victim of Jewish Bolshevism. The Jewish Bolsheviks implemented a policy known as collectivization. By collectivization, they could take away the peasants' land in the name of the state. This was what Marx himself described as the essence of communism, to abolish private property. In early 1930, over 91% of the agricultural land was collectivized. The communists were taking every good from the peasants. All weapons of the civilians were also confiscated by the state.
He ordered NKVD to confiscate all grain, all food from the cereals. By doing that, he knew he is condemning them to death.
Картошку, свеклу, это самое капусту, соленая капуста в бочке, с бочкою. Когда собираешь садить же нужно, нужно посадочную, никто не собирать и все.
During the periods of 1921 to 1922, 1932 to 1933, and 1946 to 1947, the Jewish Bolshevik regime deliberately mechanized three series of genocidal man-made famines aimed at starving farmers in Ukraine, Belarus, Kazakhstan, and Russia. Millions died a slow death, and people resorted to eating grass, and some even to cannibalism. This real Holocaust is today referred to as the Holodomor. Encyclopedia Britannica estimates around 8 million people, 5 million of them Ukrainian, were starved to death by the Stalin-Kaganovich famine alone, and the three Holodomor genocides together resulted in a death toll of 16.5 million. Russian historian Alexander Solzhenitsyn estimated that between 1917 to 1958, the Jewish Bolshevik regime managed to exterminate up towards 60 million Europeans, including victims of the forced collectivization, the hunger, large purges, expulsions, banishments, executions, and mass deaths at gulags. Industrial-scale murders like these are an essential part of communist theory. With these famines, Lenin, Stalin, Kaganovich, and all their Jewish agents destroyed any remaining resistance to the communists. An order from Lenin and Trotsky, the Red Terror, was first announced by the Jew Jakob Sverdlov. Lenin stipulated that three-quarters of mankind may die if necessary, to ensure the other quarter for communism. Lenin even outlined the purpose for the famines by stating, "Destroying the peasant economy and driving the peasant from the country to the town, the famine creates a proletariat." Lenin also regarded Europeans as animals. "It is precisely now, and only now, when in the starving regions people are eating human flesh, and hundreds if not thousands of corpses are littering the roads, that we can, and therefore must, carry out the confiscation of church valuables with the most savage and merciless energy, not stopping short of crushing any resistance." He continued, "The greater the number of representatives of the reactionary clergy and reactionary bourgeoisie we succeed in executing for this reason, the better." Leon Trotsky said, "We must turn Russia into a desert populated by white Negroes, upon whom we shall impose a tyranny such as the most terrible Eastern despots never dreamt of. The only difference is that this will be a left-wing tyranny, not a right-wing tyranny. It will be a red tyranny and not a white one. We mean the word red, literally, because we shall shed such floods of blood as we will make all the human losses suffered in the capitalist wars pale by comparison. The biggest bankers across the ocean will work in the closest possible contact with us. If we win the revolution, we shall establish the power of Zionism upon the wreckage of the revolution's funeral, and we shall become a power before which the whole world will sink to its knees. We shall know what real power is, by means of terror and bloodbaths. We shall reduce the Russian intelligentsia to a state of complete stupefaction and idiocy, and to an animal existence. Mass arrest in the middle of the night, kidnapping, executions, and brutal tactics of torture took place. The communist plan was to use psychological warfare, torture, and terror to intimidate their white enemies into submission. Gendrich Yagoda was a Jewish secret police official who served as a director of the NKVD. A major Israeli publication, Ynet News, revealed the truth about Yagoda, saying, "We must not forget that some of the greatest mass murders of all time were Jewish." He goes on, "Gendrich Yagoda was the greatest Jewish murderer of the 20th century. He is responsible for the deaths of at least 10 million people." The Jewish Checkout was a secret police force created through the NKVD, later KGB, on December 20, 1917, by the Jew Vladimir Lenin, and was consequently led by the Jew Felix Dzerzhinsky. "Jews made up nearly 80% of the rank and file Checkout agents," reports Bruce Lincoln, an American professor of Russian history. The Checkout rounded up Christians and all those who did not support the Jewish Bolshevik government. The Checkout practiced torture methods including skinning victims alive, scalping, proning with barbed wire, crucifixion, hanging, stoning to death. Women and children were also victims of the terror. They would sometimes be tortured and raped before being shot. Children between the ages of 8 to 13 were imprisoned and executed. With hot irons, the Bolsheviks tortured those prisoners who were caught. Some victims were actually sliced to pieces, bit by bit, while others were branded with hot irons. Their eyes poked out to induce unbearable pain. Burning coals were inserted into women's genitals. Often in views of victims' family members, prisoners were publicly hanged. Communists in Kharkov placed their victims in a row and nailed their hands to a table, cut around their wrist with a knife, poured boiling water over the hands, and pulled off the skin. They poked out eyes, broke bones in legs and arms, and extracted nails, cut off hands, ears, and noses. Victims were submerged in boiling ore or tar. Victims were dozed with petrol and burned alive.
Lazar Kaganovich was the Jewish head of the KGB and was well known for his purges of those who opposed Jewish control. It is argued that Stalin, whose second wife was Kaganovich's sister, was a mere figurehead. Some believe that the numerous Jews below Stalin in all significant positions ran the show. As proof, some point out that many of the churches were burnt to the ground, while the synagogues were left standing. Many priests were forced to sweep the streets and others were murdered. The Jewish Soviet leaders held rabbis in high esteem, and those people who dared to criticize the Jewish supremacy were mercilessly murdered as anti-Semitism became a crime punishable by death in the Soviet Union.
The Jew Kaganovich ordered the deaths of millions and the total destruction of Christian monuments and churches. Among these victims were bishops, professors, doctors, policemen, officers, lawyers, civil servants, journalists, writers, artists, nurses, workers, and farmers. The most intelligent and the highest achieving segment of the population was totally wiped out, which left a population of ignorant workers, peasants, and a powerful Jewish ruling elite. Lenin said, "We must hate. Hatred is the basis of communism. Children must be taught to hate their parents if they're not communists." From the American Hebrew of September 8, 1920, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia was the work of Jewish brains, of Jewish dissatisfaction, of Jewish planning, whose goal is to create a new order in the world. What was performed in so excellent a way in Russia, thanks to Jewish brains, and because of Jewish dissatisfaction and by Jewish planning, shall also through the same Jewish mental and physical forces become a reality all over the world. A righteous Jew, Henry H. Klein, explained that Zionism is a political program for the conquest of the world. Zionism destroyed Russia by violence as a warning to other nations. It is destroying the United States through bankruptcy, as Lenin advised. Zionism wants another world war if necessary to enslave the people. Our manpower is scattered over the world. Will we be destroyed from within, or will we wake up in time to prevent it? The Rabbi Stephen Samuel Wise in New York said, "Some call it communism, but I call it Judaism."
People were being shot day and night throughout the biggest country in the world. Stalin even got to the point of killing people by random, by quarters.
Let's say 100,000 in Tambov district. Okay, that's it. Whoever they grabbed and shot will be fulfilling quota. They wouldn't care about names. Then after the quotas were fulfilled, the local authorities would report to Stalin, to Central Committee, and ask for additional quotas.
Хрущев просил, короче, лимит вот, значит, там, что-то ему там разрешалось, что-то 7 или 8 тысяч врагов народа. Он просил, дайте мне лимит на 17 тысяч.
An additional quota will be given, and after fulfilling, they would again ask for additional quota, and so it will go in circles. It was like a like mincemeat machine, you know. It was just killing and killing and killing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the Jewish butchers cut open the stomachs of their victims, pulled out a length of small intestine, nailed it to a telegraph pole, and with the whip, forced the victim to run circles around the pole until the whole intestine became unraveled and the victim died the most agonizing death possible. Pregnant Christian women were chained to trees and their babies cut out of the bodies. Some victims in Kiev were placed in a coffin with a decomposing body and buried alive, only to be dug up after half an hour. Lenin was still not satisfied with this and reported, "More power to the terror." The Bolsheviks would eliminate every free thinker. Trotsky wanted every individual to be a rootless soldier of labor. And he thought that all those demanding free speech, free press, and free trade unions should be shot like dogs. If ordered to move, they were forced to obey. If they refused, they were deserters who would be punished with death. Every move was at gunpoint. Trotsky often executed his victims personally in the most cruelest ways. He happily ordered disciplinary executions, and he even ordered children murdered. Officers and their families were executed for disobeying orders. The Jew Grigory Zinoviev, real name Hirsch Apfelbaum, as head of the Communist International, wrote in an article in the Drasnaya Gazeta in Moscow, September 1, 1918, "We will make our hearts cruel, hard, and immovable, so that no mercy will enter them, so that they will not quiver at the sight of a sea of enemy blood. We will let loose the floodgates of that sea. Without mercy, without sparing, we will kill our enemies in scores of hundreds. Let them be thousands. Let them drown themselves in their own blood. Let there be floods of blood of the bourgeoisie. More blood, as much as possible." Every people who dared to criticize the regime would be branded as anti-Semitic and punished with death. Christians, priests, and the most attractive youth, and all non-Jewish intellectuals were the first to be exterminated. In years to come, Stalin's crime against humanity would make Lenin's Red Terror crumble in comparison.
Thank you for watching this video. If you would like to learn more about the inverted reality fueling the Synagogue of Satan's global white genocide agenda, please watch our documentaries, White Devil Deception, at whitedevildeception.com, Judaism's Trinity of Terror, at trinityofterror.com, and Schizophrenic New World Order. We'll provide links below. If you're a first-time visitor, please subscribe. Doing so helps keep you up to date on future uploads. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a thumbs up and share it with friends and family. If you would like to contribute to Camelot Daily's efforts, please consider purchasing one of our many custom graphic tees or a book from our featured author. Thank you.